This morning's message, take up your sword. You know, there was a time when Jesus had told them to put up their swords. But we see here where he tells them, where we're looking at that taking up that sword. There's a time for all things. There's a time to kill. There's a time for war. There's a time to fight. We know the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taking it by force, that he said. In other words, you have to press your way into the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to be easy. The enemy want to possess you, want to possess that which God had promised unto you. And the children of Ammon was hostile toward Israel. They wanted to take their land that Israel had fought for, and they was misrepresenting the word of God. And in life, there's people out there that's hostile toward you, hostile with you. We have to study God's word, as we preached about in the last couple of weeks, that we have to learn how to fight. And it's not just that we're fighting against flesh and blood, but it's spiritual wickedness in high places and powers and principalities. And the enemy nowadays is inside man. That's why it says the devil had come down to you. The devil, if what the devil is a satanic spirit that's a personification of evil. That dwells in people. And Jesus had said that some will of their father the devil. They are a wicked seed out there meant to do you bodily harm or to take or destroy you. So be not deceived now. You be naive and you may be lost. You have to fight this battle. You have to put on the whole armor of God to fight this battle. They want to take your inheritance. They want to take your land. They want to take your money. They want to take your soul. They want to take all things, anything, because that's their nature. And Ammon was consistently hostile toward Israel. And we see where God had said what he was going to do to Ammon, that concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord. Had Israel no sons? Had he no heir? Why then doeth their king inherit Gad and his people dwell in his cities? The king of Ammon was trying to take that land or whatever, and Israel had rightly taken that land. And Israel was scared to fight. And there's a lot of people in the church these days, not that they're scared to fight, but they don't know how to fight. They don't know how to fight, and they're fighting a physical battle. I was talking before we started about this young man yesterday that shot at the school bus or whatever. That's a physical fight he's fighting. If he has problems, him and his mother should get on their knees and pray to God that God would relieve them of that problem. But that's going to only get him in deeper. There's no sympathy toward that. That's foolishness, because that's the wrong fight. They may be wrong in what they're doing to him, but he need to be a child of God to fight it the proper way. A lot of people will lose their life trying to fight this thing in the physical. He could be incarcerated the rest of his juvenile life for those attempts at that school bus. A lot of people in the churches will perish because they're attempting to fight Satan. They're attempting out of their own way. There's a right way that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof is death and destruction. That's why he says he was going to teach the children of Israel to fight. That's what the church is for, to teach you how to fight this battle. This battle is not in the physical. Even though it's taking place in the physical realm, it's principalities and power and spiritual wickedness on your job. Those things that's oppressing you, stressing you out. It's not really your boss, man. It could be him. But it's God that you need to get in tap with the source. Israel couldn't get in tap with the source, and they were afraid. They were scared people. They were very afraid. And Ammon was going to come up against them, and we're looking at in the book of Judges, and they had kicked Jephthah out. They had displaced Jephthah, and he wasn't to inherit any of his father's land. And this legally wasn't his father, because he was the son of a harlot, and the sons kicked him out, and the elders of the city allowed that to happen. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Jephthah's wife bare him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And then Jephthah fled from his brethren, dwelt in the land of Tob. I'm reading at Judges chapter 11, starting at the first verse. Dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered unto him vain men of Jephthah, and he went out with them. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye coming to me now when ye are in distress? They was willing to make Jephthah a leader, a captain, if he would come in and help them fight the Ammonites. You know, the churches want us to double-team up on the world today. A lot of these ungodly churches that's not preaching true doctrine, come in fellowship with us. I had a minister come to me this week. Well, come in fellowship with us. Come to the pastor appreciation. Come and do these things. Well, where were you when I was in your church and you wouldn't stand up? Where were you when I was with you and you wasn't with me? I'm forgiven. And Jephthah was forgiven. Jephthah went back to help them. But sooner or later, Jephthah himself fell. A lot of times when you try to help people, you weaken yourself. That's why it says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Jephthah was a very smart man. He was a strong man, and apparently Jephthah had been fighting the battle with the Ammonites. He was a raider, and they said he went out and a vain man had grouped together with him. In other words, these men were no reputation. They were strong men or vile men. But apparently Jephthah's leadership had been displayed, and the people of Gilead knew that Jephthah was good at what he was doing, and they went to him for him to lead them. A lot of churches are foundering today, and they want to group up with some other body, or they want to seem like you with them. You remember Jehu went and got Jehonadab, and he wanted to make like Jehonadab was with him, of the Rechabites, and that he wanted to have somebody of reputation with him, somebody to strong to help him fight. Don't make these unholy alliances with churches or with other Christians or go in if you have a difference of doctrine. Don't make these alliances and these things. That's why the reading scripture in Romans 12 and 18 says, if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's if possible. You can't compromise what you believe in for what somebody else believes in to fight a fight because y'all have doctrinal differences. So Jephthah went in with him to fight this battle. And look how he does it. He's a smart man. He knows that God has to fight this battle. He knows God has to fight this battle. And so he comes in and verse 11 says, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all the words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messages unto the king of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me that thou art come up against me to fight in my land? Why are you trying to take that which God has given me? Now see, he just now came back to the land. They had kicked him out of that land. But he's going to come back and help defend them. And he's pursuing it the right way. Because God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, about this. He says, when you draw near to a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace to it. And if that city makes an answer of peace to you and opens to you, then all the people found in it shall be tributary to you, and they shall serve you. Sounds right. You try to live peaceably with all people as possible. That sounds good, doesn't it? This church trying to make peace, or they want to have fellowship with us. So what are we to do? I'll speak with you. I'll be with you. But he says, they shall be tributary to you. You shouldn't go in and pick up their doctrine. You shouldn't go in and worship their idols. I'm leading this thing. Jephthah made it clear that he's leading, and what he says goes. If we say, well, we worship on Sabbath, don't talk to me about your worship day. You will have to work on the day I say work on, because that's my God. We working under my God. If we come in under my jurisdiction, don't try to meal and mouth me off. If you find where you at, I'm fine. But if I'm going to come in to you, we will serve my God. We're not going to serve these idols and all this other stuff that you're talking about. So Jephthah told him, and he tried to pursue peace. That's diplomatic. That's the way our president. He wants to handle this thing diplomatically. You need to try peace first. Have you tried peace? But, you know, sometimes it can't be peace. I can't have peace with you because of your wife. You are right. You might conform to what I'm doing. But you got a bad wife. A lot of people got a bad spouse. They got bad children. The children might need to be taken out and stoned and cursed or whatever. Ahab had a wife like that. If you read in the book of 2 Kings, the 9th chapter and the 22nd verse, Ahab didn't know how to handle his wife. God had to kill Ahab. God killed Ahab, and Ahab's whole house had to go because of what? His wife, Jezebel. He hired Jehu to do this job, and Jehu did that job well. Jehu had killed and he had pillaged all Ahab's son, and he went to take care of old Jezebel. Jehoram, which is Jehu's Jezebel's son, seeing Jehu coming, Jehu having an overthrow. He was going to kill Jehoram. And Jehoram hollered at him. He said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" What did Jehu tell him? Jehu said, when Jehoram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, Can peace exist as long as your fornicate mother is alive with her witchcrafts and adultery, her sorcerers and things? As long as we got that whore around, we got to kill that. That's what he says, the great harlot. There are so many harlot churches out there. It calls it the great whore of Babylon and the daughters of Babylon. See, we want to take the stigma out of the name because we don't hear the word bastards anymore. He says, your children are bastards. In other words, these are fatherless children. You see, you want to say, well, we just live in common law. We living, this is my man. No, you're living in sin what you're doing. You can't have sin in my house. You can't fornicate in my house. We can't have it in our churches. We can't have this church out of order. We can't have idolatry in this church. We can't be out of the order of God in this church and there be peace. God said he giveth us peace and joy that no man can take it. But we can give that away. A lot of us give it away for the association with other people, for the group with other people. So instead of going along to get along, he says, as much as it lie possible within you. So, well, no, can't be no peace here. There won't be no peace here. Peace. What about peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. But the peacemakers has to be a strong person. Because the peacemakers has to carry a big stick just in case they don't want to make peace. You try that carrot and stick approach. If it's no peace, we're going to have to conquer you. That's what Israel did. They go in the land. They try to make peace with the people. But we're going to take this land. We're going into heaven. We have to press in there. But we might have to fight. It says it suffered it violence. You can get somewhere on your job, but you might have to fight those on your job. You can get somewhere in your home, but the enemies may be those of your own household. It might be your parents. It might be your children. It might be your spouse. He says your enemies will be those of your own household. But you will have to stand firm and not give an inch. Not give an inch of what God has given you and what you believe in and the God that you serve. So, Jehu sent those messengers to him. And what did the man say? He said, and the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon, even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon and said unto him, thus said Jephthah, Israel took not away your land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. Why? Why would we say that? The king halfway, right? See, he's like Satan. Ammon is like Satan. Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness and said, all these kingdoms I'll give unto you if you'll bow down and worship me. But see, Jesus told him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. You see, Satan trying to give you something that already belongs to you. Satan knows the scriptures, but he don't understand them. The king of Ammon knew that that was their land at one time. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us that. It tells us that that was their land. And God had told Ammon, he had told Israel, I'm not going to give you of Ammon's land, and I'm not going to give you of Moab's land. But what happened was, they didn't follow God, and they were following Chemosh. And the Amorites came in and took that land from them. And you see, a lot of people in here have followed that harlot, that great whore, the Roman Catholic Church. They have moved their worship day to Sunday. And it says the daughters, in other words, the Protestant churches that came out of the Roman Catholic Church believe in Sunday worship. Those are the daughters. But the alliance didn't hold. So they were serving the same God because Lot's children, and which is his grandchildren, Lot was at one time trying to serve Abraham's God. But see, Lot had this tendency to err away. He married a woman that erred away from God. Lot was one that loved the lush lands of the plain lands of Sodom and Gomorrah. There are people that was once in the church, that was once following God, or may know of God. But they went up into Easter, they went into Christmas, they went into the things of this world, and they seduced his servants. They have women teachers and women preachers. All this is contrary to God. But see, somebody has to stand up against this. We need more Jephthahs to stand up against your cousins, against your brothers, against your family if necessary, against your spouse if necessary. If Ahab would have only stood up to Jezebel. But what happens here? Jephthah tells him, we didn't take your land. This is what happened. That's why we was talking the other night. You have to study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. My pastor, he always giving us all those papers to read. He's always being so technical. You have to know the scriptures. You have to read the word. Because the devil's going to come to you with the word. He's going to try to deceive you with the word. He's going to take the word. He's going to try to misconstrue you. He's going to misconstrue all of it to you. This minister wants to tell me, well, me and you could sit down and we can talk about the Sabbath and I can show you this and I can show you that. If I allow you to do it. If I let you dull my hearing with such foolishness, first I have to believe in something you say. And that's why I left you. If I was of you, I'd have continued with you. So what makes you think I'm fit to sit down and talk to you about anything? Now what you can do just like you did today. You can come back over here to me, or you can come to my church and you can hear what I got to say about the Lord. But so far as you with the pulpit, you don't have the mic to sit down and tell me this or whatever. I'm not going to bow down to your gods. You had the truth and you lost it. Ammon was in a land. God was protecting Ammon. God told Israel not to fool with Ammon and Moab. Listen what happens. He says, but when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, this is Jephthah. Now, Jephthah knew this. That's why I don't think he sacrificed his daughter, because he knew the law. He knew all. He says, but then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray you, pass through your land, thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken there, and because he told them not to fool the Edomites. They wouldn't listen. And in like manner, they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab and came by the east side of the land of Moab and pitched on the other side of the Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. Moab was so scared that they went out and got Balaam to try to curse the children. Balak went out and got Balaam to try to curse the children of Israel. But he didn't fight against it. He was smart enough to listen to Balaam and say who God had blessed, he had blessed. There's people out there, you've been went a long ways in your life. You 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. And you have been hard at working hard in your life. And it's some of your very closest people that have put you through all kinds of trouble. You spent money and wasted time and effort trying to do things to help them. And every time you did, they've thrown you in a fix. It's been a losing cause helping them all along. But now you want to come in here and rule my house. You can't rule where I stay at. You can't rule where I live at. You can't rule the God I serve. So, this is what happened. We put the dodge on you, tried to leave you alone as God told us to. He says, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, not Ammonites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thine land into my place. He was seeking peace. He prayed to him, he made supplication, let us come through. But what happened? Said, but Sihon trusted not in Israel to pass through his land. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched at Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel, if you peaceable, if this young man on the bus was praying to God, if he had a praying mother and father, if the parents was together, if he had a praying family, he could have stopped the bullying. I pray to God when this minister left my house. I pray to God every day. Lord God, you fight this battle. I'm trying to live peaceably. My wife touched me on the back and she would say, I'm just so proud of you. You didn't say nothing. You didn't lose your cool or whatever. You didn't go off. Because she knows sometime I just launch out. But I tried to stay as peaceable as God saved him. But don't keep pursuing a person when they say, leave me alone. And they say, well, look, let us pass through your land. But they came out after him. Now, somebody attacked you, it's a different thing. That's what we were talking about. Your parents say somebody hit you, hit them back. You got to hit them, and you got to hit them hard. And they hit Sihon hard. God used Joshua, and they routed Sihon, and they took it. It says, and the Lord God delivered Sihon and all the people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites and the inhabitants of that country. I didn't whip them. What happens when you whip them? The victors, the spoil go to the victors. Huh? Don't it? I didn't want all this is mine. When Abraham went and fought for Lot and took all the stuff, he didn't want to keep the stuff. He said, unless you say you made Abraham rich. But I got to give God his cut out of here. See, God's going to give you the ground that you walk on if you would stand up to the Amorites. If you would stand up to those that won't listen at you about your God. Those that won't listen about the Sabbath. When they come up against you, you just stand. Because you tried to pursue peace on that issue, but they kept bothering you. They kept bothering you. And you had humbled yourself. He says, blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed. That's what he says. Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 9th verse. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction, and good favor and salvation, regardless of the outward condition, are the makers and maintainers of peace. For they shall be called the sons of God. That's what's come to your life if you walking and doing as God said. He said, you do though, if when your ways please the Lord, I'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. Either he'll take them enemies out the way. See, God's working this regardless of what circumstance you think I'm in. You might think I'm in a bind and I'm happy and content. I might be like the duck hunter say. He said, look, they looked so peaceful and happy in slavery. That's because I'm just waiting on God. We might have been picking cotton, but one day, that same White House we had to slave to build, God has it where we can rule from that same White House. But see, now you're upset. Now you want to rebel and secede from your union that God then delivered this into my hands. If you would just stand and let the Lord fight your battles, victory will be yours. If it's your wife fighting against you, let God fight that battle. He can tame. If it's your husband, if it's your children, if it's your parents fighting, let the Lord fight the battle. But you better learn how to fight, though. Don't do it dishonorably. You have to honor your parents. You have to honor your parents. And you have to what? Raise your children upright. But God's the fighter, not me. I've done what you told me to do, Lord. Now I'm here. My body is the living sacrifice. If they hurt me, it's because you told me to do it this way. If anything happens, it's the Lord that told me. See, because God says, my spirit shall not always or not forever dwell and strive with man. For he is also flesh, but his days shall be 120 years. Things come to an end. People messing over you come to an end. All things come to an end. There's an end to all things except God, and God is eternal. That's another point of mine, the Lord's battle. And that he's not going to keep striving with the enemy. If you won't leave my child alone, I'm going to have to take control of this, God says. They crucified one of his children, but he raised him up. He raised him up just like he'll raise us up. If we do just like Jesus, when we just take what God's, whatever circumstances God has us in, if we would take it according to his word, he'll do the fighting. Vengeance is here. He'll avenge us. I was telling my wife that the other day when she went back to work. One of the managers that was bothering her was gone. Apparently she had picked on the wrong person. She may have picked on a child of God. That person prayed. That person got the victory over her, and they said, you got to go. She said, I've been in here 18 years. You got to go. I've been here 18 years. You've been 18 years picking on all my children that come through here. One stood up to you and told on you. Now you got to go. We're going to force you out of here. You let God fight those battles. Those things that you're crying for, God see your tears. God saves your tears in a bottle. But you got to start standing up for God. He's going to give you the strength to stand. You got to press your way, though. Sometimes this devil going to press you like you don't feel like it. He says, I'm going to press and keep on pushing on. Give me the strength, Lord. Just give me the strength to hold out if I can hold out. Just hold out. What happened with Abraham? He had a nephew there that he went against God. He took him with him. And they were so prosperous. And they had, but it was strife among them. So Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between me, I beg of you, between me and you and my herdsmen, your herdsmen, for we are relatives. Is it not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I beg of you, from me. If you take the left hand, then I go to the right. If you choose the right hand, then I go to the left. Now, you the pastor, you the minister, your husband's a pastor. I've left two or three churches because I couldn't rebel against the authority of that church that was invested in that pastor. So what? Leave. I prayed to God. Left. See, and I was like Jephthah. Even though I left or I was put out, I didn't hold that against you. I don't hold a grudge. I was forgiven. I'm still willing to fight in the Lord, but I'm not going to fight for the God that you're talking about fighting for. I'm not going to fight for the God worshiping on the day you want to worship. I'm going to fight for the God that I went to, that I found, that I've been victorious with all of the years that I left you. And see, that's what Abraham, he said, Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left, whatever you choose. And he put Lot, him and Lot divided. But he still loved it, his nephew. See, we don't hate, because when Lot got in trouble, he went and rescued Lot. But we are servant of God. We're not going to strive. I'm not going to fight with my children. Son, I'd rather you get out the house. I was telling you about Blue Bloods the other night. When the son started doubting what the father did, he said, you did this, Dad. He said, look, you get out of my house. You get out. You can't follow my rules. If you don't, he didn't even explain to me. He said, get out of my house. Because I know I love my children. I know I love God. God could tell you, you would go there. What did Jesus say? They say this is a hard saying. And they followed him no more. Did he say, I'm going to tone down on my preaching and teaching? Or did he turn to the disciples and say, y'all going too? Either you will obey the rules of this house, or you can step. That's just that plain. You can step up out of here. So Lot had to leave. Abraham put him, go that way. Get away from around me. When your children get old enough, when they get teenagers, when they get in their 20s, they don't want to rule the house. No, you're not bringing that in here. You can get out. Get your own house. Two grown people can't occupy this one house. Is there able one person making the decisions in here? And that is I. And I'm going to make them in prayer and supplications to my God who's protecting this house. He says, remind the people. He's telling Timothy, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words, which does not no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. Don't get before these churches around all these people arguing over the Sabbath day, arguing over what food to eat, arguing over what's clean and what's unclean. All that, none of that commends you to God. He's Paul said, I'm afraid of y'all. Y'all and start worshiping and doing all, I'm afraid of you. I'm not going to argue with you. He says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. And that's tested through the years. Through all of my experience, in the years that I've been serving God, I'm not going to let you come in here and tell me there's a new way to do this. These youngsters want to say this and say, well, look, I don't have to debate about it because I've been living for God. Now, you can get out there with that foolishness, but you ain't going to come in here and practice that. It's been tested through the years. It's temperate. I'm not going to go for whoremongering in my house. If you're not married, you're not going to bring him in here. It's not going to be hugging and loving and going on that couch. You're not going to close that bedroom door if you don't have a ring on your finger. Now, if y'all are following hard times in your marriage, you can come in here and dwell a while. But if you ain't married, you're not bringing him in here. It says, a workman has no cause to be ashamed. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, in other words, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So you have to know the word. Jephthah knew the word. And once you know what you're doing, and once you firmly convicted, you're ready to go to fight on this. We'll die to death right here. This is the line of sand, and I ain't going any further. That's why he went and fought that, because he knew it. He went on to tell him, he says, but avoid all empty, vain or useless or idle talk, for it will lead people into more ungodliness, and their teaching will devour. It will eat away like cancer, spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul named name. These was two young preachers was teaching that the resurrection was past. See, there's people out there teaching things, and they want to invite you to their churches. And you listening at that teaching, and that teaching is like gangrene. You know, gangrene spreads. You can stump your toe or hurt yourself, and you got diabetes or whatever. It may be 6 months to a year, and that stuff will eat in there and eat in there before the doctor look and see that thing. That thing, they will have to cut the whole leg off. Gangrene and set in. Bad teaching will set in. You're doing one thing and you're doing another. It'll break you down. Stop following people that, when you know the truth, don't follow them in what's wrong. He says, but refuse or shut your mind against and have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Some people love to argue the Bible. And that's why I say either you know or you don't know. I'm not going to sit down here and argue with you over this. It's nothing but strife. You go that way with what you believe, and I'll go this way. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting, or contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. See, this little boy had to be willing to suffer wrong. Sooner or later, the bullies would have gotten what was coming to him. See, Ammon wasn't willing to suffer for the land that God had given them, and they allowed someone to take it away because they wasn't suffering in a godly manner. If you go out there and work and do things and you're not paying your tithe, I don't care if you do go to church a lot, but you're not doing it the right way. You're laboring for money. You're not laboring to serve God. You're serving self. And then don't call on God to help you at that time because you've been disobedient to God. That's what the one, Lord, didn't we do this in your name and didn't do we do that in your name? No, but you did it your own way. A lot of people want to serve God their way. Well, he's not Burger King. You can't have it your way. Your way has to die. You have to die to yourself. But I'm going to protect myself. I ain't going to let nobody hurt me. Jesus let them kill him. A lot of people say, I ain't going to work on that job. They kill you on that job. Well, ain't many jobs. This ain't, you know, in this day and age, it ain't like slavery. I don't think no job that kill you. But you just hold out. If you would hold out. Like I said, you've learned a whole lot of hard lessons in your life. Use those things. That's why I said skillfully, because that which you have learned, be like Jephthah. You remember history. He that don't remember history is destined to repeat it. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him, henceforth to do God's will. So what happens is that we should be courteous to people, but kindly say, no, I don't want to listen at you. I don't want to follow your teaching. I don't want to come to your church. I don't believe in that. We want to avoid this strife. Look, we can't get along together. You go your way and I go your way. So, as Jephthah keep explaining to him, as he gets to the next verse, it says, they possessed all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon even to Jabbok, and from the wilderness even to the Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and should you possess them? My God then gave me this church. My God then gave me my house. My God then gave me my wife and family. My God then gave me these things that I fought for, that I sacrificed for. And now you want to tell me, since they were once yours, that I should give them back to you, and you wasn't willing to stand up and fight for what was yours? Now, this is an argument that comes. He used a physical argument. It's a secular argument. Now let's look at the theology of this. That you lost what you had going with your wife or going with your spouse or your children or whatever, worshiping in idolatry. If you'd have stayed with the people of God, Ammon would have had this territory, because God even told his own children Israel not to bother with Ammon, Edom, or Moab. But you went into idolatry serving Chemosh. That's what Ahab did. God had made Ahab king. He went and married Jezebel, and Jezebel brought in Baal worship. He went into her temples and started worshiping Baal. They brought Baal worship into Israel. People bring that worship into the church. If she can't act right and follow this God, don't bring her in here. He told Solomon and wives to draw you away from God. Solomon went and built temples to those gods, to Chemosh and all those. And so Jephthah says, will you not possess what Chemosh your God gives you to possess? And all the Lord our God dispossessed before us will possess. God made it so that I sought the kingdom of heaven first, and he added this unto me, and now I'm supposed to give it to you? No, we're not going to do that way. We're not going to roll that way. as we conquer in land, we're not giving it back to you who's worshiping another God in compromise, and now we're letting that go. We're tearing down their altars. We're tearing down their gods. We're burning their altars. We're not going to allow that to stay. He says, now are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever go to war with Israel? No, he tried to curse them, but he couldn't do it, so he didn't go to war with them. They went in, though, and committed fornication with them. See, that's what the enemy going to do. They can't beat you. They're going to try to sleep with you. Because they know that your God has said don't be unequally yoked. And now you done committed fornication on God by sleeping with them. Watch the lures of the devil. They'll send, when Jesus was doing all he was doing, an old preacher had told me this. He told me that when I was at the church, he said, well, you know, you've been stirring up a lot of trouble around here and you got them scared. And I say, that's why them older people in the church coming out after you, because that's what they did to Jesus. When they came to Jesus, they say, do you go against the tradition of the elders? See, a lot of time they'll try to put the older people on you. This is an older minister come to me the other day. He said this. I gave him all the respect I could. But you get your old self out of there with that old foolishness. All that old stupid stuff you talking. I didn't say anything. I just let them nip and peep. But I let them in my house. They stayed in my house and talked to my wife a while or whatever. But when you get ready to go, let me sweep the house and clean all that dust behind you. Wipe the dust off your feet. So he says, while Israel dwelt in Heshbon in his village and Aroer in his village, and all cities along the banks of Arnon for 300 years, why did you not recover your lost lands during that time? It's a thing called a statute of limitation. We didn't had that land for 300 years. Now you want to come take it? After you didn't built the church from desolation, and then some youngsters want to come in and take the church. After you done developed your house and got your house right in order, somebody want to come in and take control of your house? And you supposed to just sit back there and let them run the house and you just stay in a room? No. You can't get the steering wheel now. You drove the car in the ditch. And I got it out the ditch. You won't drive it in the ditch again. So it says, so I have not sinned against you, but you are doing me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the righteous judge, judged this day between Israel and the Ammonites. That's why I say judgment belongs to God. In that book of Deuteronomy, it says, when you go forth to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than you, your own, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. And so, don't be afraid because the whole world is worshiping on a certain day or they follow out the traditional holidays or whatever. Even though you be small, the victory is yours. You don't have to do what's popular all the time. Do what's right. Do what God tells you to do. He says, and shall you say to them, hear, O Israel, you draw near this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your minds or heart faint. Fear not and do not tremble or be terrified and dread because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes out with you to fight against your enemies to save you. It's God's battle. Let the Lord fight those battles. That's why I say he's trying to teach you how to fight. So if your enemy refuses peace, you have to go to war with it. But let God do the fighting. And when the Lord has given your enemy into your hands, you shall smite every male there with the edge of the sword. Kill every man. I hate weak men. God hates weak men. All those that are cowardly and fearful, kill all of them. But the women, the little ones with the beast and all that is in the city and all the spoil in it, you shall take for yourself and you shall use the spoil of the enemies which the Lord your God has given you. So shall you treat all the cities that are very far off from you that do not belong to the cities of these nations. Now listen at this closely. He's talking about the nations that do not know God, those that are far off. Because those that are right there, those that were in Canaan, he was killing them. those churches are the people that are already in churches that are under another religion. They have to go. That's an antichrist religion. Those that are in wrong worship, following the wrong Jesus, they're just looking for a chance to slip a knife in. Those are the enemies. The Pharisees, he wasn't trying to convert Pharisees. Pharisees was religiously vain and they were going to be lost. There are some lost people out there. So he's talking about the people of foreign nations. That's why if he says, but in the cities of these people which the Lord your God gives you for inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes. In other words, of all these churches around here, they have to go. It's only one true church. We're not fit to combine religion. That's syncretism. It's this way or no way. This is holiness. That preacher was trying to tell me that was holiness. If it was holiness, a woman wouldn't be the pastor of that church. If it was holiness. So that they may not teach you all the abominable practices that they have carried on for their gods, so cause you to sin against your Lord thy God. God deals sternly with those who pervert his word. He deals sternly with them. And to show you how sternly he deals with them, Jezebel died during Ahab's time, didn't she? I'm asking you a question. Did Jezebel die? I told you that Jehu killed her. Why is her spirit still here? Let's read about it in Revelations. Revelations, the second chapter, the 20th verse. It says, but I have this against you. He's talking to Thyatira. He's talking to a church. He says, I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a what? A prophetess. She's a preacher, claiming to be inspired of God, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. This is in the book of Revelation she's talking about. Jezebel is a seducing spirit. I gave her time to repent. I gave her a spirit of faith to repent. But she has no desire to repent of her immorality, which is symbolic of idolatry. And I told you, the abomination that makes one desolate is to call one day holy that God says was holy, and you make the other day holy. That which God had made holy is holy. How can man make something holy? That abomination makes you desolate. He says, and refuses to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her. In other words, all of those that are in that type of worship, her quarters, those that go along with her, her companionship, I will bring them down to pressing distress and severe affliction, unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doing. Those who had just went in there, who hadn't fully committed this, you better get away from around them. That's why it says, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Babylon is false religion. It's a false church. It's false teaching. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of that world. And I will strike her children, that's her followers, dead. Thoroughly exterminating. That's why I say, go kill all of the children. Go kill her and her children. This is in Revelation. Those churches will be killed dead. He's going to remove all false religion. And all the assemblies of churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches the minds, the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes, and the inmost parts of the heart. I will give to each of you the reward for you have done as your work deserves. Now, you can be rewarded according to your work. So don't let her fool you out of none of your rewards. Don't let her get you help and empower her, or you're not going to get rewarded for that. You'll be saved, but you're going to lose what you could have built up. You won't have no money in the bank. You'll save your property and be saved. But you won't have nothing beside that because you built with wood, hay, and stone. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, so it's some in those churches that may need a good teaching that need to come out of those churches who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you that I do not lay upon you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. So you better watch it. And that's what happens, I'm telling you this morning. Watch those close to you. Watch false religion. Watch the life you live. The devil's trying to kill and steal and rob. He's trying to take away from you. God restores you. He gives a restoration. If you would look in the book of Jeremiah, 49th chapter, 6th and the 11th verse. When he's talking to Ammon, he tells him in the 6th verse, afterward, I will reverse the captivity of the children of Ammon and restore their fortunes, says the Lord. To all those men children, those children and the women that you saved alive, I'm going to give them this inheritance because they were just innocent prey. That's why I say, if this little boy was just to take these things and just learn of God, God would restore. One of these days, the bullies will meet their match. But the way he's gone now, maybe he could study this in jail. Hopefully they put him in jail that he don't run around here loose. What's going on your job? What's going on at the time? God's going to restore all that the cankerworm have taken. He's going to restore the fortunes of Ammon. Because why? You were fighting the battle his way. But those that fought it their way, he's going to vanquish. He's going to exterminate all those. We were talking about Edom. We were talking about Esau. We were talking about the Philistines. Look at the 11th verse when he had told Edom to flee. He says, leave your fatherless children. I told you about bastard children. He says, leave the fatherless children because they were better off. Because they wasn't taught the deeds of the father. Leave them. And I will do what is necessary to preserve them alive because I can teach them. I can train them up. And let those who have been made widows who trust and have confidence in me, I've been destroyed that husband up there. That man, he was no good. He didn't defend his house. He didn't teach his children right. Those children whose father wasn't a true father to them, I've taken him out the way. See, God takes the money changes. He takes those out, those men that won't stand up for the family. And I'll give them a new family. That woman, she works so hard, and she's a obedient, God-fearing wife. What did he do? He killed Nabal and gave her to David. He had Abigail for a wife. What did he do with Naomi? Naomi's husband and them two offspring of his, those two sons of his, died right in Moab. And he gave Ruth, which was Naomi's daughter-in-law, he gave her Boaz. That's the line the Savior come through. You see, God takes all that wouldn't stand up. These men wouldn't stand up for what they knew was right in God. Abimelech, he wouldn't stand up in Israel during the time of famine. He went somewhere else to seek his blessings. God said, drink water from your own cistern. It's going to be rough, but stay on your job. It's rough in the church. Sometimes the church may be halfway empty. Stay in the church. Your home may be lonely, but Jesus said, I'll be a friend when you're friendless. You don't need a friend. I'll be a friend, but you just stand up for the Lord. When you're on your job, when you're worried, when you're stressful, just stay there. I'll move you when it's right. But you just hold out. Just pray to Him. Say, God, give me the strength to hold out. If I can just hold out a little bit longer, trouble don't last always. In conclusion of this, the book of Ephesians 6th chapter says, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered by union with Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Draw the strength from Him. That strength which is boundless might has that strength that has the might to provide for you. Abide in the Word. Abide in Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. The armor of a heavy armed soldier with God's supplies. That you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and deceit of the devil who's out there trying to put you under stress. He's trying to make your body feel feeble. He's trying to lay sickness upon you. God says, I'm not going to lay these plagues upon you. I'm not going to put nothing on you that you can't bear. But if you would just hold up, take up that cross and follow after me. Just bear that. You that are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But you got to learn of me. Take my yoke upon. Learn of me. Let me teach you how to fight. I'll give you peace to bear up under those burdens. I'll give you instruction how to fight evildoers and dark powers. This war that you're in, it's not physical. Have faith and trust in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's just not that guy on your job. Something has him possessed. The powers of the conscience of Satan, go there and pray for him. When he despitefully beats you up and bullies you, when they talk about you, you go and pray. That's what Jesus said. Pray for those that persecute you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Because you're following the peace of God that excels all understanding. God's going to give you the victory. Stand up. Just hold your ground. Having tightened your belt with the truth around your loins, put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude, right standing with God. If you're in proper standing with God, hold on steadfast. That's where you want to be, right in the center of God's will. You don't want to be in your own will. Nevertheless, thy will be done. You don't want to die, but you're going to die because God has the power to raise you up. Nevertheless, thy will be done. I'll drink the cup. The cup is bitter. The punishment is bitter. It's hard to be talked about. It's hard to not have anything. It's hard to sit alone at home. It's hard to be consecrated, to set aside. But look, I'll be a husband when you're husbandless. I'll be a father when you're fatherless. He said, don't oppress them. I'll be there with them. Having shod your feet with the gospel, the preparations of the gospel of peace, be ready to stand in that gospel. Keep bringing the good tidings. Keep fighting the fight. That's all you have to do. Study that word to show yourself approved. You're interested in showing yourself approved unto God. He's going to strengthen you. Don't fight it your way. The battle is the Lord's. You say, vengeance is mine. Be like Jephthah. Know God's will. Know what has transpired in history. Know where you made your mistakes and try to teach others. Teach others and tell others and stand fast in that which God had enlightened you with, and he'll give you more. If you would just use that little he's got, he'll give you mountain-moving faith that you'll be able to speak to the mountain and say, be moved and cast into the sea. That problem that you're having, if you would just pray and make supplications unto him, he'll make that thing move out of the way. Don't give up. Don't doubt. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. They'll soon be cast away. Oh, Lord God, as I walk in this thing, Lord God, just strengthen me. Strengthen me, Father. Pray to him to strengthen us to stay in his word and his way. Heavenly Father, as I preach and teach your word, Lord God, let it go home to the ears of the hearers this day, Lord God, to be strong in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.